At this time, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah, and it's kind of a weird switch to go from the New Testament and looking at Jesus' birth and Christmas back to Nehemiah, maybe at the beginning. But we'll explain to you sort of our thinking about this. But Stand Firm is the name of the message, and we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. And let's read that together. The Bible says, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Nehemiah is not a prophet. He was just an individual who was serving in the service of Xerxes, who was a conqueror Persian king that had taken over the Israelite people. And as a part of that takeover, or as that occupation, he had destroyed the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was a place that was in great distress. It was in reproach. It was broken down. There was not the peaceful time that the folks had expected or that they had desired. And it had been burned with fire. And we read about it in the book of Ezra, which is right before the book of Nehemiah in the Bible, we can see how awful things had become. But Nehemiah was an individual who had come to be the personal cupbearer of the king. In other words, he was the one who would help feed the king. He would essentially bring the food. He would be the one that would bring the cup, the drink, to the king. And because of this, he was a very valued person, somebody who was trusted. Obviously, back at that time, it was not uncommon to poison the king, right? To try to kill or destroy or to gain power through all these evil ways. And so the king had to have somebody who he could trust to bring him his food. And so he remained in Persia after the exiles had went back to the homeland. But he was highly interested in the affairs of Judah. His brother, Hanani, we learn in the beginning part of this chapter of this book, had returned to Jerusalem earlier and had actually come back to tell Nehemiah about the condition of what the community looked like. And so the city of God that he had conditioned or that he had commissioned was in ruins. And the sad truth, I think, as I point out in the notes in the bulletin, is that there are some churches in America, some churches in the world today, that we could say are the same way. They've been overcome by the world. Xerxes, the whatever the Xerxes is of today's time, has overcome these churches, and to the point that they no longer stand for what God had put before them to do. And so they can take and do the celebrations, but they don't stand for the principles that God had put in place. They no longer shine forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them stand to condemn individuals. Some of them stand to enable folks who are in active sin, but they no longer shine forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they had to remain faithful. And as this, even the children's video that I picked for today, was to demonstrate that our prayer life and our faithfulness is important. Because without that, without the prayer time, without the devotion to learning about the will of God for our lives, we can be quickly overcome. The book of Nehemiah opens in the Persian city of Susa in the year 444 BC. And he is with the king, and he is asking if he can have permission to go back after he hears about the sad condition of his city, if he can go back to rebuild the walls of the town of Jerusalem. And the walls weren't there necessarily to prevent people from entering, because there would be gates. And actually, Nehemiah talked about he wanted to use some of the woods, some of the fine woods from the king's forest to be able to rebuild these gates. And we learn about that in chapter 1. But Nehemiah was a layman. And he wasn't a priest or a prophet like Malachi or Ezra. And he served this Persian king in a secular way. And he was known by the king. He was trusted by the king. And as we see in chapter 2, we see that the king notices that he is moping around, for lack of a better term. And the king says, "What's wrong with you?" And Nehemiah says, "In my prayers, I've just become burdened that my town, that Jerusalem, the king's city, God's city, is laying in rubble. It has been destroyed. The walls have been in such disrepair. The house is no longer complete." And so the king felt so much empathy towards Nehemiah, which is unusual. He felt so much empathy towards him that he gave him permission and written decrees that he could go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls which he had torn down and actually burned down. And so think about that. That's the power of God through these prayers that Nehemiah was praying. And so under Nehemiah's leadership, he went back and he traveled through, and we learn he goes through different provinces, and these provincial kings question him, think that he's up to no good. They try to dissuade him and to persuade the king that he's actually trying to cause a rebellion. And so they want to have him killed. Sounds like a familiar Old Testament story, right, in the Bible. Most of these folks just didn't trust each other. And so God provided a way, because he had a king's decree. He was able to overcome all those things. And he had convinced, through God's power, he had convinced the king that he actually was able, through his prayer life and through his faith, he believed that he was going to be able to convince the king to allow him to do this. Nehemiah, in this book, gives us three areas that we need to understand as we stand on the wall, as we stand firm. You know, we've talked about the armor of God, and we've talked about the importance of what it is that we're supposed to do with that armor. And the very end of that verse in Ephesians says what? That we are to stand. That is the last thing that the Bible verse tells us to do. The purpose of that armor is to help us to fight the good fight, to fight off all of the strength of the enemy, but most importantly, at the end, to stand firm until our life is taken from us, if that's the case, if that's the world. The world in which we live is full of those who are enemies of God and His Word. Anybody doubt that? You need to look outside. Maybe turn on the TV. Something, because it's true. There is not a place that God is loved in this world. It is just an awful, awful situation, the darkness that we see. But it's our duty to counter that darkness with light. And we've talked about that before. On Christmas Eve, the whole message was about how we're supposed to be light bearers in this world of darkness. And so we see that we have a virtue to cultivate, that we are to be developing this virtue of what? Of prayer, the virtue of faithfulness, the virtue of loving the Lord as much as He loves us, or striving to. I don't think it's possible for us to love God as much as He loves us in a human form. But the reality is He wants us to strive to love Him. We need to love God's Word. It tells us in chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, Nehemiah tells us that we need to study God's Word. He told the people in Jerusalem, as he was preparing them to go and to rebuild this wall, before he even took one step to rebuild, he actually had to teach them again how to pray and how to believe in the faith, to overcome. He, you know, what was it that the guy from the father said to Jesus, he said, I do believe, but help me to what? Overcome my unbelief. Those two things, do they make sense to you? Do you understand? Can you, in your own life, see you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've prayed the prayer, you've been through the baptism, but then you go back out into the real world, right? And is it as easy as it sounds? Is it as easy as you thought it would be to be a Christian? To live a life that is obedient and that is loving to God? Is it easy to find time? Are we not easily distracted from reading our Bibles? You know, there are all kinds of, you know, reading plans out there. If you go to our Faith Life program that we have provided to everyone, we give the daily breads out. We do all kinds of things. You know, we have 138 members of our church. We buy 25 copies of the daily bread. Okay, so we know that not everybody's using the daily bread. So which one are you using? What are you using as your guide to be able to go through the Bible? To stay in the Word. Because as Nehemiah told the people of Jerusalem in chapter 1 of his memoir that we read here, he told them that it is important. That is the base. That is the foundation of you being able to be obedient to God, to being faithful to Him, to standing firm in the Word. The second thing that he said that we need to work on, okay, because this is not something that comes normal, is to love people. Now, we've talked about that many times. But he says in verse 10 of chapter 2, he tells the Jerusalem people that they need to not be wanting more than their neighbor. That they need to try to care for each other. And want this wall, want this honoring of God to be done so that other people would see the importance of Jesus Christ. And he's in the Old Testament, so he's looking to God the Father. But all of it is related. And then he goes on in chapter 4. The second thing that he tells us that we have to be mindful is that there is a battle. There is a battle to be fought. And it is not going to be an easy battle. You know, these last several months have, you know, they've been pretty rough. And in the first part of this year, when I was recovering from my stroke, there were many times as I lay there in that hospital bed that hopelessness tried to take over. That you just sit there and you wonder, what's the end of this? How is this all going to end? How is this going to be a good thing at the end of it all? And you have to fight that. Nehemiah tells the people of Jerusalem that this is going to be a hard wall to fix. This is not going to be an easy thing to do. To be able to rebuild something that has been completely destroyed is not an easy thing. To rebuild this wall for the purposes of honoring God is not going to be an easy thing to do. And he tells them not to lose hope. Not to lose hope. That's a hard thing for us to do in the church today. And the reason why many churches fail. Because it is so hard. What's wrong? Maybe we should leave Greta at home next week. Sorry. I guess I'm stuck here. Alright. The other thing is to guard against desertion. Desertion. You know, it's easy in today's church to say, well, I'm not going to go to Liberty anymore. I'm going to go down the street. I'm going to go to the next church down the road or the next community down the street. Give up on standing for what's right or for not molding into what it is that God would have you to do. To desert. And so as he's building this wall, as Nehemiah is building this wall, and encouraging the people and telling them not to lose hopelessness and helping them to find the faith that they need from Jesus, from God the Father, he has to worry about them quitting. He has to worry about them not coming to work the next day to rebuild this wall and finding ways. And he tells them, don't desert. Because if you do, you will fall into the trap of the enemy. Because the third thing that Nehemiah tells us and that we need to be mindful as we stand firm on the wall is that there is a work to be accomplished. And we should desire that work. And sometimes that's hard for the church to remember too. It's hard for your pastor to remember. It's hard for Christians to remember that there is a work to be accomplished and we should desire to do the work, whatever it may be. One of the things that I'm really proud about and thankful for, more than proud, but I'm thankful, was that, you know, one of the first things after these tornadoes happened in Kentucky was the number of people that contacted me that I could see within our Christian community, the Christian love, the Christian family, the church in a bigger sense, just how quickly we wanted to go out and help these folks. You know, when there's a crisis, everyone seems to come together. They want to be there to help each other. And that's God, because as I said, to care for one another is not a normal reaction. Normally we try to do what? Take care of ourselves. Make sure that I'm taken care of, that I have housing, that I have food, that I have... A matter of fact, in regards to toilet paper, as we saw during the beginning of this crisis, we want to make sure we got lots of toilet paper at home, right? And paper towels, because they disappeared and couldn't find them. A desire for the work. But what about the harder work? What about the person that has to actually go and remove the rubble and actually stand there and build? And again, this is in a figurative sense. It's not easy sometimes. It takes years and years of work sometimes to get some folks to come to Christ. But all we can do is do what? All we can do is be faithful. We can read the Bible. We can pray for them. And sometimes those prayers may not even come to fruition in your lifetime. And that's hard to believe. Hard to stay committed to. But as Nehemiah tells us in verse 6 of chapter 4, we should desire to pray for our brothers and sisters who are out there who are struggling. And we can't give up. You can't desert. You cannot do that and be able to claim your place in God's presence. And the last thing that he talks about in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 6 is this. He says that you have to depend on God. You can't do it on your own. It's not something that you can personally develop a trait or have the power to be able to accomplish without God. Depend on God. Now he's actually building a wall, the Jerusalem wall. He is there and he's doing these things. He actually doesn't know whether it's going to get finished in his lifetime or not. He doesn't know whether he's going to be killed by one of these other provincial people that are coming. And you can read that whole book. It's a wonderful story. But the reality is that he made sure that he didn't lose hope. He did not desert and leave his job. He desired to go and to face these hard times. He wanted to be present for these folks. He wanted to make sure that they knew the importance of what God had laid on his heart. And he depended on the Lord to give him the power to be able to face these things. You know, we have to realize it's our duty to counter hate in the world with God's love. And at the same time that we battle the forces of darkness, we have to advance the cause of Christ. When the battle becomes very intense, and it does at times, right? At many times in our life, we will face the battle so intense that we don't know which way to turn. Where is the safe zone? Where is it that I can retreat to find respite, to find hope? And when the battle becomes that intense, I want us to remember Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, It's not against each other. As Nehemiah told the people of Jerusalem, we're not building this wall to keep out the folks from other communities and provinces. And he convinced the king that his purpose wasn't to create a fortress that he could defend against the power of the king Xerxes. His position was to complete the house of God. Our struggle to do what is right in the world is not against each other. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rules, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And Paul tells us this. He says to put on the spiritual armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Nehemiah stood, and he stood firm. And he was able to accomplish his work and to motivate others to be able to help him to do that. I pray that we have the ability to do that too. I pray that our church continues to seek to do the work of God. I pray that our church understands God's word and how important it is that we build our lives and our community and our emphasis from our programs, whatever it is that God puts in our plan, that we would desire to do that work, that we would continue to love people, even people that sometimes don't love us. Even people that don't love us. And that we would depend on God to be able to move forward and to accomplish the work that He gives to us. As we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know what the Bible is all about, if you don't know any of these, what I'm talking about, if you're hearing this message and you are convicted that there's a battle for you to fight, that you need some godly assistance, that you need to be able to be led to know where the Bible should be in your life and how important it is, I want to pray with you. I want you to pray with me. And as we're online today, if you would pray this prayer, God will come into your life and He will guide you. He will help you to develop the skills to be able to stand firm as Nehemiah did as he rebuilt this city. If you would just pray with me this prayer. Dear God, I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned against you. Lord, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I believe that He lived, that He was born into this world fully human. I believe that He died on the crucifix. I believe that He rose again on the third day. I want to serve Him. I want my life to be different. I want the hope that's offered through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, let me know so that we can be with you, because we want to be able to support you and keep you strong as you go through these first several days and weeks of being a Christian. It's not an easy thing, but we'll tell you and help you find that spiritual armor. As we sing our invitation hymn number 58, Go Tell It on the Mountain, let us sing together.